Well, good morning. I'm Jonathan Lawson. I'm here with my wife, Priscilla Lawson. We are glad to be here this morning to share with you a little bit more about our ministry. As I said, we're going to share a little bit more about our ministry, but I'm first going to let you guys enjoy our video. We have a little five-minute video presentation for you to watch, and then after that, I'll come back and share some more details about that. Thank you.
We are Jonathan and Priscilla Loss, missionaries on deputation to France. France is a beautiful country known for its great food, beautiful cities, and romantic language. We often picture France as the country of love and romance, where life is good and everything is beautiful. We think of its history and we see in it a profoundly religious, intellectual, free country. But the reality is much different. Religion is dying in France. The Catholic Church has suffered a great recession in France and atheism a great growth. With these trends, morality has become a foreign notion, with rape, murder, theft, and adultery reaching all-time highs. Those who do believe in God believe in Him only by tradition. In addition, Islam poses new challenges, with it being one of the fastest-growing religions in France. France counts roughly 67 million people, but 99% of those 67 million do not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. 99% of France is going to hell. This shocking statistic is also a great challenge. The disciples after Christ's Great Commission faced similar numbers, with an entire world to preach to. But as Christ said in John 4:35, "Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest? Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest." With terrorism, political, social, and economic issues, France has gone through many trials and many more are to come. Yet, this is our hope, that the French would see and feel their need for a Savior when everything around them seems to fail. But God has already been working through this. Doors are opening where they used to be shut, and people are listening who would not have listened before. The fields are white and ready for harvest indeed, but the laborers are few. God has called us to go and bring the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ to the French and train the French to do the same with their fellow countrymen.
Christ en vous, l'espérance de la gloire, c'est lui que nous annonçons, exhortant tout homme et instruisant tout homme en toute sagesse, afin de présenter à Dieu tout homme devenu parfait en Christ. Colossiens 1, 27b et 28.
That's exactly what we want to do. We want to go to France and share the hope that you have within you, the hope that we have within us, and that is Jesus Christ. But we want to do more than that. We want to train and disciple the French so that the gospel preaching and disciple making and church planting would continue long after we've passed. Our vision is to plant a church and start a ministry that will foster a philosophy of disciples making disciples and extend this duplication philosophy to church planting. Our goal is to plant a church that will plant other churches in turn so that we might have the joy of seeing churches and the gospel spread throughout the region.
The good news is that lives are already being changed and disciples are already being made. We want to be part of that effort. Jonathan grew up in France, where his parents are currently missionaries, and I had the privilege of visiting their church. We both saw lives being changed and disciples being made. Nevertheless, it's clear from both our experiences that the need in France is great, and God has placed this burden on our heart and the call on our lives to go and preach the gospel. But don't take it from us. Take it from Geoffrey, a young Frenchman who grew up in France. Here's what he has to say about the need in France.
Je suis un ami de Jonathan Lutz. Je le connais depuis tout petit, on a grandi dans la même église ensemble. Il est quelqu'un de très sérieux qui a eu une bonne influence sur moi. La France est un pays sans Dieu, un pays qui a besoin de l'évangile, un pays qui a besoin qu'on apporte l'évangile dans les foyers, et un pays avec très peu d'églises. C'est pour cela qu'on aurait besoin de missionnaires en France, afin de pouvoir apporter la parole de Dieu aux Français. Donc merci pour ce que vous pourrez faire pour Jonathan et Priscilla, et pensez à ce que vous pouvez faire pour eux.
Geoffrey is a member of the Baptist Church where Jonathan's parents currently minister. We plan to join them, help them, and then move to another area of France and plant a church. We are excited and we praise the Lord for what He has been doing, what He is doing, and what He will do in both us and in France.
Our God has been working in the hearts and lives of many, and He's doing so as we speak, so that when Priscilla and I go to France, we might have the joy of impacting many lives. Would you consider and pray about how you can join us in this great mission? But also, please pray for France. Pray for souls to be saved, and pray for God to send more laborers to France so that we might have the joy of seeing a revival in France.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that video. And what I usually do after we play this video is I would go around the auditorium and I would ask for 6 people in the auditorium to stand up. And I would randomly go around and just tap on a shoulder and the person would stand up. And then I would ask you to just stop and take a couple seconds to look at the people that are standing in this auditorium. And I would tell you that if those people were French, they wouldn't be saved, and they would be going to hell, because in the last 6 minutes, 6 people died in France. And as you saw in the video, 99% of France is going to hell. 99% of France is going to hell. Now just stop and think about that. Stop and think about the 6 people in your church. Just imagine 6 of those faces and think about those people and think about the fact that if they were French, the odds are that they wouldn't be saved and they would be in hell right now, just in the last 6 minutes. That's a scary, scary thought, isn't it? And that's why we're going to France, because there's a field there and we want to reach the people that are lost. 67 million people lost and 99% don't believe. But this morning I want to share a little bit more about us, because you see, it's interesting that France is a lost country, but why us? And I want to give you 3 reasons why you would want to participate in our ministry in France, why you want to go with us, what God is going to do in France with us. And the 3 reasons are the following. The first reason is because of what God has been doing in France. Now, what God has been doing in France is a little bit exciting. In my perspective, to some people, it's terrifying. Here's what I see as exciting. France, as I said, has 99% of its population lost. That means that out of 100 people, the odds are there might only be 1 person saved. Well, this culture in France, with 99% of the people lost, is completely dark. People reject God. They don't want God. And because of that, our nation has been going through a lot of trauma. If you have followed the news in the last 5 years, you've probably seen all the terrorist attacks. Since 2015, 75 attempted terrorist attacks throughout the nation. What that means is that in the last 5 years, on average, about once a month, there is a terrorist attack that is either carried out successfully or attempted by some terrorists. This means that many people have died and has created in our country a feeling of uncertainty, a fear. What is tomorrow going to be about? What is it going to be like? Am I still going to be here? Our nation has been going through a big social uproar. If you've listened to the news, you've probably heard about the Yellow Jacket movement. The Yellow Jacket movement was this big uproar, these demonstrations, riots in Paris that lasted for a full year, from November of 2018 to November of 2019. And these people were rioting because they were tired of their society, of their government and their country falling apart. The economy is down. The social makeup of the country is falling apart. Here's another scary stat, just to give you a picture of the family in France. 50% of married men admit to having had an affair. That was a poll that came out in 2013. 50% admit. We're not even talking about those who don't admit. The picture is very bleak in France, and yet we rejoice in it. We rejoice in it because when everything falls apart, when one person sees that their rejection of God has caused for their life to be dismantled, to be destroyed, when a whole nation sees its atheism and its rejection of God and sees the consequences of it, they ask questions. And we've been seeing that in France. In the video we shared that we've been seeing some doors open, some people ask questions, listen, that weren't listening before. The country is in what I would say in a transitional time, transitional period. It's at a turning point. And we want to be there. We want to be the ones that are influencing this nation as it makes changes in its way of thinking, in its way of living. We want to introduce them to the true hope. In our video, we shared a verse that is our vision, and that is the second reason why we believe that you want to be a part of our ministry in France. It's because of our vision. And that verse that we shared in the video was Colossians 1:27b and 28, which is Christ in you, hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ. That's exactly what we want to do. Listen, we want to go and we want to tell the people of Jesus Christ. We want to warn them. We want to preach Christ, share the hope that we have within us and the hope that you have within you. But it doesn't stop there. You see, in Paul's words in Colossians, he doesn't stop with, we want to tell them about the gospel. He then says, we want to teach them. And that's what we want to do. We want them to grow. We want to make them disciples, followers of Christ. So that when we die or when we retire, we don't have to be doing the job anymore. And the job won't die with us. There will be French people who will be making disciples themselves. You see, that is our vision, to go to warn and preach and share the hope and teach them. And that's our vision. We want to go, reach, and teach and disciple. We want to make disciples that are going to make disciples. We want to plant churches that are going to plant churches. Our vision is a vision of a mother church. Our goal, and if this is all that God gives us, is to plant at least one church that will plant other churches in turn. That is our vision, and we're excited about it because it's God's vision for missions. It is God's vision for missions to reach the lost and to disciple them. So we saw that there's some exciting reasons why you want to jump on this boat with us and go to France and serve with us there. It's because, number one, there's a change taking place in France. And we better be there. When God makes an appointment, we can't miss it. The second reason is because we're going there with the right focus, a biblical vision based on 1 Corinthians 27b and 28. And our third reason is because of what God has been doing within us. Now listen, Priscilla and I aren't super Christians. We're not perfect. And if you ever saw your missionaries in any other light than brothers and sisters in Christ are just like you, then you were wrong, because that's all they are. We are not any heroes of the faith. We're not any super perfect people. We're just like you. We're sinners and we need God to enable us to do what we're going to do. And so we are really excited to share with you what God has been doing in our lives, because you're not sending just us to France. You're sending us with God's enabling power. And so we want to share with you some of the things that God's been doing in our lives, and one of those is you guys. You see, we come in these churches and we share, and I know it's a little bit unusual that we're sharing through video like this, and I'll be honest, it's not my my favorite way of doing it, and I'm not as comfortable, but however, it's a great thing to be able to connect with you guys, even if it's just virtually, because now you can put a face on that prayer card. You can put a face on that name. You can feel the burden that we have for those people. You can see us, and you can pray for us. And that is the most important thing that has taken place in our life, is that we have people, and we have a whole team that is gathering around us to pray for us, to send us to the country of France. There's also some other ways that God's been working in our lives. And I would say sometimes some very practical ways. God has blessed my wife with musical skills. Priscilla is a fantastic pianist. I wish you could hear her. And we plan on using that to provide for some free piano classes in France as an outreach, a way of getting into our community and getting a foot in these people's lives. We also, I feel, are blessed with the fact that I was born in the country, which obviously offers some legal advantages with the paperwork, but also just gives me a good grasp of the culture and of the language, and so that when we go there, when the plane lands, the minute it lands, we're ready and we're working. And so we're really excited to go to France. We really think that there's a window opening. And I have to say, even this coronavirus, it's good news. It's good news. Because when people see how fragile their life is and how short it is, they look for what comes after. And we're excited to go back to France. We're excited to serve him and to reach the people there. And we hope that you're excited about it too and that you'll join us. So if you would pray about that and pray about how you can join us and how you can pray for us and how you can even maybe come with us. Our desire is to maybe even reach one of you to come to France and be a missionary with us. But we really just want to share with you the burden of France and help you see the need that there is there. Thank you for your time, and we'll see you soon. Well, now it's time for our quick Q&A session. Now, this is going to be an interesting Q&A session because I don't have anybody asking me questions. So I'm going to ask questions to myself and answer them for you. These are some of our common questions, I guess, just questions that we get a lot regarding France. One of the questions we get a lot about France is, what about Catholicism? You know, is France more of an atheistic country, or is it Catholic? And to that question, well, I say it has a Catholic heritage, and it's a very interesting question because if you look into history, France has always been a very Catholic nation. It was actually, for a while, called the daughter of the Catholic Church. It was a very Catholic country. It has deep Catholic roots, but if you remember, the French Revolution was all about freeing the nation from the overarching powers, which were the king, but it also meant the church and God. And so France also has a deep-rooted secular mindset. And so we find these two cultures kind of clashing in the French society, and it's actually tipped in favor of the atheist side, the secular side. I'd say that France is much more of a secularistic, atheistic country than it is a Catholic country. And actually, the stats would confirm that. There was a poll that was ran recently, and it's really interesting. This was in 2017. 60% of the population that was polled were atheists. The rest were split up. The majority of the believers were Catholics, was about 30%, and then the rest was split up, with Islam being about at 9%, and everything else was kind of broken down in that population. Now, that is a poll. It's not always very reflective of the whole nation, but it does give us a good idea of a nation that is really tipping against, on the atheist side, the secular side, against God. So when people ask me, isn't France much more of a Catholic country? Isn't France kind of really a nation that knows about God? Well, I tell people, you know, if you think about it, really it's a nation that's been stuck in 1,000 years of lies with the Catholic Church, has rejected that 1,000 years of lies, started a new period of lies, a new era of lies with atheism. And if you look at the stats, we say that we're 1% of the nation is believers. We base that on the number of evangelicals in the nation. Now, I want you to understand that when we say 1%, we are sweeping broad. We're including from all charismatic movements with us, and we're not doing this because we're all okay with the charismatics, etc. But we're trying to sweep as broad as possible to give people the maybe the most optimistic number as to what, how many Bible-believing people there are in France. And to be honest, believers that are born again, we, if we are generous, round it up to 1% of the nation. So that is a little bit of the picture of our nation religiously. The Catholic Church is dying. It used to be the majority religion. Everybody was a Catholic. And then atheism came and took over. Something also really interesting about the Catholic Church is amongst those people who do call themselves Catholic, we have a lot of people who are just nominal Catholics. There was that same poll that came up with the Catholic people, then asked those same Catholic people how many of them attend Mass at least once a month. It dropped to 5%. So if you look at the Catholic population, well, they're not really Catholics, and it's really interesting. We've actually met Catholics who don't believe in God, and it's really a confusion that people just say they're Catholic because that's what Grandpa was, that's what Dad was, that's what my uncle is, and so we just follow the mold and fit into the culture. And so just to answer that question about the Catholic Church, it's dying. And even when we come up with that figure of 30% of the population being Catholic, it's not even trustworthy because only 5% of those are actually genuine church-going Catholics. So the nation has shifted away from Catholicism and embraced atheism. Now, another point, another question that we're often asked with regards to the religious state in France is with regards to Islam. A lot of people follow the news here in the United States, and sometimes the U.S. news is a little biased towards France and likes to paint it as a worse in a worse picture than it actually is. You know, I'm often asked, are the Muslims overrunning France? And I would say I don't think that that's the case. The Islamic population in the recent polls are right around 9%. So they're not the majority. They're still a pretty large minority in the country. However, they're a loud minority, very loud. They occupy a lot of the media space. Most of the time, it's negatively. There's a real kickback against Islam. And as much as I am not a fan of Islam, I fear a little bit of this kickback towards Islam for this following reason. And this is a way that you can pray for France, as you think about France, that atheistic secular majority is trying to push some more of its secularism into the society by way of Islam. So the Muslims, obviously, with the terrorist attacks, are kind of the ones that are rejected in the religious picture in France. And because of that, there's a lot of resentment towards them. And the secular people, really hardcore atheist people in the politics, are using that hate and that resent to manipulate, to push some more secular laws into the country. And for example, one of these issues has to do with the Islamic veil. In France, there's a debate over whether women should be allowed to wear the Islamic veil even in the streets. And I fear that they would ban that, because if they ban Islamic veils, then they can ban the Christian cross, they can ban the Bible that you're carrying in the street in your hands. So just pray for the nation. As I said in our presentation, there is a turning point. People are questioning, and unfortunately, sometimes that questioning doesn't lead to the right answers. And so just pray for the nation. Pray that we would be able to be a light that shines bright in these times, and that this fear of Islam wouldn't cause freedom of religion to decrease in the country. Those are our two main questions. To be honest with you, every time I go to a church, I expect these two questions to come up, and without failing, they always do. There's always a variety of questions that come up. For you guys here at West Bend, a lot of the questions that were asked that are personal about us, most of you know them already, but I'll still go quickly over an overview of our personal testimonies, both to Priscilla and I, so that you can be refreshed and reminded of who we are and why we're going. My personal testimony is a little different from Priscilla's. I grew up on the mission field. I was born on the mission field. My mother is actually a French national saved out of a mission work in France, and we want to go back to France because I grew up there, and when I grew up there, I really developed a burden for the people. I lived there, and I saw the need, and I experienced the need, and I really felt a deep darkness in the country, an overarching sense of godlessness in the society. And when I was in high school, I really, you know, I just thought, you know, that's the way life is, and we'll just move on with it, and I'm going to do my life. And I wanted to be a lawyer, and for the wrong reasons. I wanted to make money, and I wanted people to think, man, he's a lawyer, you know, out of pride. And God, through our furlough time that summer between my senior year of high school and my first year of law school, worked in my heart to change my plans. Now, it was too late for me to move out of law school and to go to Bible school, but I just went through my 3 years of law school in France, got my degree, and came to Maranatha, where I got to meet you fabulous folks and got to serve with you. God just anchored that call in my life through that summer and through those years in law school and then at Maranatha. Priscilla's testimony is a little different. Priscilla grew up here stateside. Her dad is a pastor in the Upper Peninsula in Michigan. He was a pastor in Iowa. And Priscilla's testimony and her call to missions is a little different. She, when she was young, had similarly dreams of grandeur. She wanted to be a pianist and to make a career out of the music, a musical career. And God too changed her life and changed her mindset, and taught her that if she were to be worthy of him, she had to give up her whole life and to give up everything. And so at a camp when she was 13, she surrendered her life to full-time ministry and to missions. And then when she met me, things kind of geared towards France. She was interested in Europe before me, so there was a good thing there. She was interested in Germany through her professor in middle school. But God used our relationship to gear her to France. So that was a quick overview of our personal calls to the field. About what our ministry is going to be like. Those are some of the other questions that we get. We usually get questions about the country, then we get questions about us, and sometimes we get questions about what our ministry is going to be like. And I just want to share that a little bit with you. I shared it in our presentation. I shared it in our video. But I want you guys to know a little bit more in depth. Some of the things that we're asked, for example, is how are you going to do outreach with the people in France? How does it work? And the reality is in France, the country is really closed off to religion. And so when you knock on a door and you talk to people about Christ, you don't usually get anywhere with that. We still do it because we believe that God is working in hearts, and you never know when you're going to knock on a door where God's been working in the heart. But really, the main way that you reach to people is through your personal life. And that is part of why we put such a big emphasis on discipleship, is because obviously in our life, we're going to build relationships and we're going to invest in people's lives and try to share the gospel with them and bring them to the saving knowledge of Christ. But we want to disciple, because if Priscilla and I do this, in our lifetime, we might save, I don't know, we might not save, we don't save anybody, but we might bring people to a very limited amount of people to Christ. But if we disciple the people that we're bringing to Christ and teach them to do the same, then we can start duplicating and having a big growth in the nation. So really, evangelism in France is personal. That's one of the aspects of it. And so, as I shared earlier too, sometimes you just have to make ways to get into people's lives. Priscilla is going to provide free piano classes. Free piano classes. Who says no to that? And get a free piano class, and we're in their life, and now we can start sharing the gospel with them, building a relationship and bringing them to Christ. And sometimes it's just being friends with people, to being good neighbor, working with the community on whatever projects they have. And also, there's sometimes some social outreach, I guess, where you just go out into the community and through your church, you show the love of Christ with the intent of sharing the gospel to those people. You go out to feed the poor and give them the word of Christ. So those are some of the ways that you can share the gospel in France. Now, you don't need to understand, the French nation has been through a lot religiously. 1,000 years of Catholicism doesn't leave without any scars. And those scars have pushed people back from Christ, away from the Bible, away from God. And we need to come, and we have a lot of work to educate people that we're not the Catholic Church, that we are preaching truth of God's Word, that we are bringing the love of Christ and not the burdensome works that the Church, the Catholic Church imposed on them for so many years. So if you want to pray for us in those ways, pray for the nation that there would be an awakening along the lines that we've been seeing, and pray that when we go to France, and that those that are already in France would be able to just be able to build those relationships and work in those lives. As a matter of fact, I'm currently working with a young man in France. His name is Jean, and we, over this quarantine time, had more time to talk, and he's a typical Frenchman. He loves to live well, put it that way. He enjoys the pleasures of life, and is a very bright mind, but doesn't want God. And over our talks and our discussions, he's slowly shifting to at least admitting that there is a God, or that there might be a God, whereas he used to be a staunch atheist. So we're excited to see where God is leading in his life, and pray for him. I sometimes talk to him just as a friend about whatever, and he brings up the topics of Christ and brings up questions for me, which tells me that God is pricking his heart. And so if you would pray for him and pray for wisdom as we go forward with John. Those are some very few questions. I know it's not a lot, but I try to cover a lot with those questions. If you have some questions, I know it is not good to come up after the service or to come see me personally, but if you want to call me, if you want to text me, if you want to email me, you're welcome to. If you want to get all that information, all you have to do is to go on our website. It's losses2france.com. Losses, LAASES, 2, France, FRANCE.com. And you'll have all the information you need to get in contact with us and to learn some more about France. We have some videos there where you can see a little bit more about our background. You have some of our prayer letters updated there, and you have some information about us and about who we work with. We appreciate your time, and thank you for listening.